Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Hello, everyone from the freezing Midwest right now. I'm just trying to keep warm here, and glad you're all here. Thanks for being here tonight. I see a few friends in the chat room there. DJ, Keith Anthony, don't know what happened to John Lee, and a couple of guests. Looks like there might be some difficulty with some of you losing your sound, so I'm going to take care of a little housekeeping first. Again, we want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, attorney at law. If you have any legal questions having to do with your TBI, he specializes in TBI law. In fact, his website is TBILaw.com, so be sure to check him out. Also want to thank Craig Celia, the originator of Brain Injury Radio, who has allowed us to expand the show to 7 nights a week. And let's see, anything else? Yes. If you are logged in and you want to call in to the show tonight, or if you're listening and you'd like to call in, the phone number to the show is 424-243-9540. Again, 424-243-9540. And you'll press 1 if you have a question. And otherwise, you can just sit and listen to the show and I won't bother you. I'm kind of excited for some of my regular listeners and even my irregular listeners. I've been looking for some music, and somebody did respond to me today, and doggone it, I told him I was going to mention him tonight, and I can tell you that his name is Nick. I can't tell you the rest, but in any case, I'm going to be meeting with Nick this week, and he's going to be gladly giving me a couple of his tunes to play here on Brain Injury Radio, and was happy to help us out. So I'm really glad to hear that, too. And so, again, for any of you out there who it would be even not even nicer, but equally as nice, if you're somebody who is a musician and are recovering from a brain injury, we'd like to hear from you too. Play some of your music on the show. Tonight, I did something a little bit different than I've ever done before, so this is kind of a test. Over the summer, I had a different show. It was called In a Flash Recovery Now. And I got the opportunity to meet, just after my book came out at the beginning of last year, I got the opportunity to meet quite a few people who had had aneurysms and were aneurysm survivors, got involved in some of the Facebook pages, eventually ran into the TBI Facebook pages, and have met so many survivors that have just really been through some hellacious experiences and have somehow come out the other side being thrivers, not just survivors, as one of our hosts, Kevin, would say. And the guest tonight, I did a pre-record on. We have a 30-minute interview. I wasn't quite sure how to do that without burning the Brain Injury Radio time and risking messing up our show, so I did the pre-record on my other show and then uploaded it to this one. So we'll see, and of course my IT department, my wonderful husband Gary, helped me, although he's not familiar with our studio panel here. So between our two heads, I'm really hoping that this worked out well. Amy lives on the East Coast, and due to her injuries and the nature of the things that she's left with, she is not up this late to be able to do her interview live. And so we took some time this afternoon, and DJ caught me. So he heard just a little sampling of the show tonight and of the interview. And in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to play a 30-minute interview between me and Amy Offenbach, who has an incredible survivor story. And then, and I'll mention it again after I roll the tape, I was just giving people time to get on. We all run a little bit late around here. She does not have a website. So if you do have comments, of course, you know, one thing, dummy me, I didn't think of earlier, is I will email her a link to the show. So certainly call with your comments after the interview. But she did ask me, and I put it in my program notes, that if you did have any comment or question for her, that you type it in the comments underneath where I posted tonight's show on my In a Flash page. And I gave you a link to that in the program notes. And if there's anybody out there in my audience in the chat room right now who'd be able to find that, and maybe, well, I guess anyone in the chat room is going to be able to see it, but my In a Flash Facebook page. But in any case, looks like quite a few of you are here. So I'm going to go ahead and start my interview with Amy. Like I say, it's about 30 minutes, and then I will come back on and we'll proceed with the show. We'll discuss the interview and lots of other things. So here we go. We will roll it now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to tonight's show, Recovery Now. I'm your host, Kim Justice. I'm very excited tonight to be able to interview a guest. You guys have heard me say before that whether it's from a TBI, an aneurysm, an AVM, a brain tumor, almost any kind of trauma to the brain, we each have our own individual stories, but there's some common threads both in the occurrence and most always in the combination of residuals that we're left with. I met Amy on one of the Facebook pages, probably back in the summer, and I'm very pleased tonight to have her as my guest. Amy Offenbach, in 1997, when she was 26 years old, first became aware of the brain's potential to become a bomb when she suffered a brain aneurysm. Since then, she's undergone, I think, about 8 surgeries for complications, yet still manages to maintain a happy quality of life and a wonderful attitude. Amy's certainly taken a licking, but has kept on ticking, and I'd like to bring her on air and have her tell us a little bit about her story. And we'll unmute her mic. Amy, are you with us?
I'm with you, Kim. Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your story with us tonight. We're really happy that you're here.
No problem. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
You bet. Well, why don't we get right into it. Tell us what happened initially, and then just kind of go through your story with us.
Okay, I'll start from the very beginning. My husband and I got married in October of 96, and then we moved to Florida in December of 96. We both were able to get jobs at a TV station down here. And then the following July of 97, I had an aneurysm rupture in my brain, and that was a surprise to both of us because I had no idea I even had an aneurysm. So at that time, I spent 9 weeks in the hospital and underwent two surgeries, one to clip the bleed and then another one to insert a shunt to drain the excess spinal fluid that had been building in my brain.
Let me stop you right
there
for a minute.
How did you become
aware of the, when you say that you didn't know you had an aneurysm and it ruptured, what, how did that?
I collapsed at the gym. I was working out at the gym, and I just went down flat on my face and was unconscious. And, you know, I even stopped breathing when they were wheeling me out, you know, and then, you know, they took me to the hospital, and it was, you know, it wasn't until I woke up, which was several, you know, I was awake a lot, but I didn't really comprehend what had happened to me until probably a couple weeks into that hospital stay.
Right, understandable. So you didn't have, a lot of us say, you know, we have that clap of lightning that zaps through our head, that pain like someone buried an axe.
I don't remember anything about that day, I'll be honest with you. That day is completely gone to me. I don't remember anything about that day.
Okay, so you collapsed at the gym then, and they get you to the hospital, and then go on. Didn't mean to interrupt, just people like to know the details of how you first know that this is going on. So you collapsed at the gym, they get you to the hospital.
They get me to the hospital, and it's my understanding I slipped into a coma for a few hours, so they had to stabilize me. And I don't think they were able to do surgery to clip the bleed right away because I was so unstable. So I think they waited, you know, as long as they could to get in there to clip the bleed. And they eventually did, and they clipped the bleed, and then they sent me to another hospital to begin, you know, rehab. So I was at this other hospital undergoing rehab when I just wasn't doing very well. I was having all kinds of memory problems. You know, cognitively, I was a mess, basically. And they determined I was having fluid buildup on my brain because one of the ventricles in my brain had stopped working. So they sent me back to another hospital, back to the first hospital, where they inserted a shunt to drain the excess spinal fluid that was building on my brain. After that surgery, I went back to the original hospital where I started doing physical therapy, and I guess the shunt made all the difference in the world. I guess it just really, it really helped, and I was, you know, back recovering well and stuff. And like I said, I ended up spending 9 weeks in the hospital initially, and then when I got out of the hospital, I spent about 3 months in outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies.
Hmm. So you really were affected on every level.
Yeah. I was basically having to start over, basically, you know, which was real interesting. Another interesting thing is the aneurysm paralyzed one of my vocal cords, so I didn't have a voice for about a year. You know, when I talked, it was barely above a whisper. I ended up having to have a vocal cord implant at Vanderbilt to restore my voice, and now obviously it's great.
Oh my goodness. And all this right when you had just gotten married and just gotten settled in a new place with new jobs and, gosh, especially in media, and then you lose your voice to boot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Geez, so, okay, so you get your vocal cord, and how long was that after your aneurysm in the shunt?
I waited about 10 months. They initially say when you have a paralyzed vocal cord, you need to wait a year before having anything done because there's a chance it could start working again, but I was too impatient. I couldn't wait a year. You know, I got to about the 10-month mark, and I'm like, you know what? It's not going to work, so let's just go do the surgery. So it was about 10 months after the bleed that I had the vocal cord surgery.
Wow. And I don't know about much about that. What's the recovery time like on that?
I went to Vanderbilt for that surgery, actually, and I think I was in the hospital for maybe 2 or 3 days. And, I mean, I had to be awake during the surgery because I had to talk to them to make sure they got the implant in the right place.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I was, like, half awake for that surgery, but my voice was a little sore and raspy after that, but, you know, it was great. It sounds great now. I don't have any problems with it now. You know, that's been probably 15 years since I had that surgery.
Good Lord. Now, was that a relatively new procedure when...
I think it was because I did see a doctor here in Fort Myers who recommended injecting Teflon into the paralyzed vocal cord to help it, meet with the working vocal cord to give me a voice. And we did a lot of research on it, and we discovered that that is primarily used in older people who don't really have a long life expectancy because it doesn't last forever. It doesn't last as long. So we did a bunch of research and discovered the Vanderbilt Voice Center in Nashville at Vanderbilt. And I went up there and met with the doctor, and it was a really good feeling when you walk into his office and see the walls lined with gold records from all the musicians and stuff he treated.
Oh, what
so
a cool
I knew
thing.
We were in the right place.
Yes, absolutely. That would be.
Yeah, so we got a really good feeling from him. And like I said, my voice is great now. You know, I don't have any problems with it at all.
Wow. And since my aneurysm was in 95 and yours was in 97, the microneurosurgical techniques were even relatively new back
then. Well,
that's
what I was going to say. My aneurysm was clipped, and I guess a lot of times now they coil them, or, you know,
yes.
I get the impression that clipping is not used nearly as much anymore, that they coil them. Or there's like a glue or something they can use on them too. So
Onyx, yeah, they've had a couple.
Yeah, the Onyx, yeah.
New procedures that have come out. Let me ask you this, because I'm kind of wondering. I haven't had a neurosurgeon. Mine was visiting at the time that I needed one, and when he left, it was never recommended back in those days that you have any follow up or anything. If you were walking and talking, they just kind of sent you out into the universe.
Yeah.
The clip they used on me in 95 was made of a metal that makes it impossible for me to have any kind of MRI or magnetic imaging.
Right.
And
I actually have an MRI-compatible clip.
Okay, so it changed sometime between 95 and 97. Then they came
yeah, apparently
with a more
it did, because, yeah, because I can have MRIs now, no problem, because they use... They used a compatible clip.
Great. Well, then that's interesting to know, because definitely in 95, the one they were using was one that was didn't work very well with magnets, so it must have only been maybe...
I'm sorry, Kim. I just had some music going off on my computer. I apologize.
It's okay. We have that kind of stuff happen all of the time.
sorry.
That's okay. So, well, good. That's good. I don't know how long they used the clip they have in my head, but I'm glad that they had changed it within a couple of years, because that's a young age. You know, you were in your 20s. I was 35 when that happened, and that's a lot of years to not be able to have diagnostic tests for anything else that would come up in your life. So,
yeah.
So that's good
to
know. Okay, by 97, they had a compatible clip then. Okay, so now you've been through the aneurysm, the shunt, the vocal cord replacement, transplant, and then what happens?
Well, I went back to work, and for a few years, you know, everything was fine. You know, I was doing well at work. I was back at work full time. You know, I was driving. I was just doing everything. I was just living my life. You know, everything was good. And then one day I sneeze and I felt like my head was going to explode. It just hurt so incredibly bad. I just had the worst headache I've ever had. So, you know, we immediately went to the doctor and he ordered a CAT scan. They were doing CAT scans at the time. He ordered a CAT scan and he said, well, some bad news, your shunt is malfunctioning, so we need to go in and fix it. So I was just like, I was feeling so bad, I didn't care. You know, I just wanted to feel better. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having a shunt revision surgery then. And it was interesting because I was basically in the hospital, I think, for 2 days. And that was it. You know, nothing like having brain surgery one day and being released from the hospital the next day. You know, which I thought was real interesting. But yeah, so I had that shunt revision. That was the third brain surgery. I had that shunt revision and went home and, you know, was feeling, you know, was really, really tired from that surgery, you know. But I was, you know, doing well. And what I ended up going back to work a few weeks later. However, I needed a wig this time because, you know, they had to shave my head. They had to shave my whole head for it.
Oh, God.
So, you know, I went back to work and, you know, I was doing okay. And then the thing that's interesting is I would sneeze and get this horrible, horrible headache. That would happen more times where I would sneeze, my head would kill me, the shunt wasn't working, I had to go in and have another shunt revision. So I had a total of about 3 shunt revisions before the doctors finally figured out, okay, something's not right here. We got to figure out what's going on here. So they put an endoscope into my brain and discovered there was a golf ball-sized cyst that was pressing on the shunt, causing it to malfunction.
Oh, so they had
to puncture that cyst, and they did, and now everything is fine. The shunt is working fine. I haven't had any problems since then.
Now, about that cyst, was that, I mean, obviously when they were doing the scanning to find out that you had an aneurysm and whatever scanning they might have done around placing that shunt in the first time, you know, they obviously didn't see that cyst in any of the imaging. Do you think the cyst
thing, and that was the thing we talked to my doctor about. He's like, you know, I'll be honest, we were so busy looking at the shunt, trying to figure out how to fix the shunt. And it was small at the time. You know, the cyst was small, so they just couldn't see it. You know, he said we had other things that we were looking at, trying to figure out, so we just missed it or whatever until it got so big that, like I said, they had to use an endoscope, you know, in my brain to figure out what was going on, and that's when they discovered it.
God, I didn't even know they could do an endoscope in your brain.
I guess they can.
Jeez Louise, so that cyst had, and the cyst was just a benign cyst?
Yep, it was just, like I said, they just punctured it. I think they said it was just, I think it may have been a fluid-filled cyst that was totally benign. You know, they just punctured it, and, you know, everything is fine. The shunt's been working fine ever since.
I've never even heard of anyone having a cyst in their brain. I wonder if many people, I still wonder if the cyst didn't come from some of the initial damage.
Well, yeah, they think the cyst probably formed after the aneurysm rupture.
Yeah, I think so.
They think
too.
It was a side effect, basically, of the aneurysm rupture.
Wow. I've said before that I had never met another survivor until my book came out earlier in the year, and now I'm just, you know, in 2012 was my period of discovery, I guess, getting to meet a lot of survivors like us on the different Facebook pages and that. I've never heard of it. Have you heard of anyone else having a cyst like
that? Actually, there is an aneurysm support group here in Fort Myers that we did go to a couple of years ago, and I could not believe all the people that were there. There must have been 30 to 40 people that were there, which, you know, really surprised me that there were so many, you know, so many survivors.
Who had a cyst?
Oh, who had the cyst? I'm sorry. No, I thought you meant who had the aneurysm. No,
well,
no, I haven't met anybody else who had a cyst. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking the aneurysm.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry because that was going to be my next question, but I was still so stuck on this cyst. I just wondered. I had never heard of anyone else who had had one. I just wondered if you had.
No, I haven't heard of anybody else who's had a brain cyst, no.
Just lucky, you guess, huh? You got to have every a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding. Just luck of the draw, I guess.
Jeez. Okay, so then my next question you were starting to address. Back in 95 for me, and still today, we don't have an aneurysm support group or a traumatic brain injury group or any kind of group along those lines where I live, which is the biggest city in Nebraska, which isn't so small. And so that was one of the reasons why I had never had occasion to meet anyone else, because we just didn't have that kind of a thing here in town, and doctors didn't recommend it. Back when you first had everything happen, back in the in the later 90s, was there a support group, or did you even seek one out, or how did that happen for you?
No, we didn't seek one out. I think I was just so focused on recovering and just so focused on getting better, and it was such a long road that I wasn't even thinking about, you know, talking to anybody or, you know, seeking out a support group or anything. So, you know, to answer your question, no.
Well, I do understand that. Certainly my case wasn't like yours. You had a lot longer, more occurrences and more recovery, but from what I did have, I do understand what you mean. In those first 6-7 months for me, I was just hoping I could stand up, not throw up, and be able to function at all. So no, I wasn't looking either for a support group, and you know, but I was surprised that when all of this started changing for me, when the book came out and all of that, that we still, then I started asking around town to see, you know, if we had such a thing, and we still don't have such a thing. So you did eventually, though, in Florida, find a group?
Yeah, I found an aneurysm support group, and we went to one meeting. However, we didn't really care for it because the meeting was held by one doctor who everybody at the meeting was from his practice, and we were the only ones there who, you know, didn't know who he was or weren't with his practice. So we, you know, weren't interested in it because it was just, I don't know, it just seemed very cliquish or whatever. You know, so we just went to one meeting and then just said, no, you know, this isn't for us. You know, this doesn't work, so.
So you didn't really feel the need then for a support group, but eventually
no,
you did get involved in a couple, at least one maybe. I've got so many now of the TBI and Facebook pages, TBI and aneurysm Facebook pages that have adopted me. I can't keep track of where I met who, and you can imagine that if you still have any of your memory issues, it's
hard
for me to...
Yeah, I absolutely have some memory issues. I was just going to say, there was a support group. Bill Maples, who was a professor in Georgia, had an aneurysm support group that my husband discovered online when I was in the hospital. You know, he discovered the support group online, and it was a really cool support group. Unfortunately, the doctor has died now, so the page is basically dead, but it has probably hundreds of narratives from aneurysm and AVM survivors on the page, and I did submit my story there, and, you know, I updated it pretty regularly, you know, so I did use that.
Ah, okay, and then I'm trying to figure out when, so which page I met you on, because I'm not sure about that one, but let's see. Well, I'm not sure. So
I think didn't we meet through Janet Sutherland? doing me to her? Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Janet is
the
greatest.
I think that's how we met, because I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I've gotten to know her a little bit, and I think that's probably how we met, was through her.
Okay, great. And Janet Sutherland, for those in the audience, she started the Chicago
Right, she's got a big Chicago group that she started.
Yeah, the Brain Aneurysm Foundation, and I think that she... I bet her group, you know, I don't hear so much. The mothership for the Brain Aneurysm Foundation is in Massachusetts, and I don't very often hear much from them, but I wouldn't be surprised if Janet's group isn't the biggest Brain Aneurysm Foundation branch in the country. I don't know that for sure, but she
is
sure an
active
person.
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling too, just, you know, from what I've seen of it, that it seems like it's a pretty big support group. It seems like it's a really good support group.
It is. It is a very good support group, and the Brain Aneurysm Foundation was kind enough to do to read through my manuscript and write a review for me, but again, they don't. There's really nothing around here that is a brain aneurysm related group, so I try to keep track of Janet and what she's doing in Chicago. I'm getting anxious for their cookbook to come out
that's right. I forgot about the big cookbook they're doing. That's right.
I know, that was kind of tough for me. I call my kitchen a pass-through room. I'm not a a cooker, and I asked her how many she had for peanut butter and jelly. You know, I'm not sure what I eventually came up with for that, but we'll have Janet on as a guest at another time and have her tell us about that. I think that's coming out pretty soon, but in any case, this last surgery. You did mention one other thing to me in the email. We've got about 10 minutes left, and tell me what happened. So the shunt had been adjusted a couple of times. You've had your vocal cord replaced, transplanted, and you've been okay for a while. Then what happened? Probably
the most difficult thing was a few years ago, I started having numbness in my hand. My right hand was feeling a little numb. So I went and saw my general practitioner about it, and he said, oh, I think it's just carpal tunnel. Here, take this, you know, med, and let's see what happens. Well, I took the med for a few days, and it didn't get any better. And then not too long after that, the headache started. I started having really bad headaches. And so we decided a trip to my neurosurgeon was necessary. So I went, and I saw him, and he took some scans, MRIs and CAT scans and stuff, and the appointment that we had to go see him to get the scans read, he came in and he said, I got to tell you, Amy, I just pored over these scans, just looking for anything I could find, and I think I found something. He says, I think you have something called Chiari malformation, which is basically when your brain sags into your spinal canal, causes a cyst to form in your spinal canal, a cyst called a syrinx that forms in your spinal canal. He said, you know, I see that happening. He says it's not very common, but, you know, this is something you need to get taken care of, because if you don't, you're going to end up paralyzed. So, you know, that kind of freaked me out a little bit, but I was like, well, yeah, we got to do something about this, and we got to do something about this now, you know, because I'm getting worse. So he hadn't performed the surgery very much, so he referred me to a doctor in Gainesville at Shands Hospital at the University of Florida in Gainesville. And so I ended up having to drive 6 hours north to Gainesville to have decompression surgery, which basically means they put a little stent in my spine that drains all the fluid that was in my spine, that drains all the fluid out. So, you know, they did that surgery, ended up being in the hospital for maybe 4 or 5 days, and that's probably been the most difficult, it definitely has been the most difficult surgery for me to recover from, because when I was released from the hospital, I was barely moving with a walker, and I needed some extensive physical therapy, and I ended up spending about 6 months in physical therapy, going 3 times a week just to be able to walk again. So, you know, I ended up doing that, and I ended up going back to work about, you know, probably 7 or 8 months after the decompression surgery. And I was fine, you know, up until not too long ago, just probably about 2 months ago. I took a pretty bad fall here at home. My husband was out of town. I'm laying on the floor. I can't get up. I can hardly move. I ended up having to call 911. They came, took me to the hospital. I ended up spending a couple days in the hospital. They did several MRIs and CAT scans, and, you know, they said, you know, we don't see anything neurologically that's wrong. You know, I think it was just probably an accidental fall. I just fell and I just couldn't get up. So I spent a couple months in physical therapy as a result of that, and now I'm using a cane to get around, but I am getting around okay. You know, I did go back to work and I am driving and stuff, so just another bump in the road.
My goodness. let's see. So after all of this, and now obviously we're in 2013 now, and you've had your share of struggles since 1997. How have you managed? I'm sure you've had your dark moments and all of that. You couldn't really be human and not, but how have you managed to keep your spirits up, or what tools or tricks or things would you pass on to the audience?
You know, what choice do I have? I mean, I was dealt these cards. I've got to play them. You know, I mean, it's like I don't want to just curl up and die and just sit at home feeling sorry for myself. You know, so it's like, what choice do I have? You know, you have to deal with it. So that's basically what I do. You know, I'm living my life as best I can, and I'm happy with it. You know, do I wish this didn't happen? Of course I do, but it did. So, you know, you got to deal with it, and you got to make the best of it. So that's basically, you know, all I'm doing.
Well, that's a great attitude. Not everybody is as able or courageous to be able to do that. Now, your husband, Todd, has obviously been a huge support,
yes,
stuck by you through,
yes,
all of this.
He has been the biggest support, because at the time the aneurysm burst, we had been married 9 months.
Mm.
And we had just gotten married. We just moved to Florida. We just started a new job. And then, you know, 9 months later, bam, you know, this hits. And we just celebrated our 16th wedding anniversary last October.
Oh, congratulations. That is
thank
wonderful.
You.
Boy,
so he's really been a big, big pillar of support. You know, I have my bad days like anybody, and, you know, he's always there to pick me up. And he's been a lot of help and a lot of support, which is great.
Well, that's just wonderful. Well, Amy, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us tonight. And
no problem, Kim. Thank you for allowing me to tell it.
You bet. And if now Janet's page, is that the Chicago Brain Aneurysm page that you're a member,
yeah,
of? I was going to say, if anybody had any feedback for you, one of the advantages when we have a person on a live show is we have callers call in and maybe,
right,
make some comments or ask questions. Would there be,
right,
any place, now they can also post them if they want on my website, and you can look at them there. I'm not sure if you have a site or if,
yeah,
maybe,
I think that would probably be the best place, or maybe post on your Facebook page.
Okay, that'd be good. As a matter of fact, yes, everybody, on my In a Flash page, I'm going to be posting the link to this show. But actually, by the time you guys are hearing this show, the link will be posted. And if you'd like to make a comment or have a question for Amy, please do it on my In a Flash page underneath the program notes for this show. And Amy, thank you so much for being with us, and I really, really appreciate it, and I know the audience does as well, and we wish you and Todd many blessings, and hopefully when you recover and kick that cane, you're not going to have any more trouble again, because you have certainly had your share.
Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate you allowing me to tell my story. Thank you. It was nice talking with you.
You too. You take care, Amy.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, and as DJ said, 4, 3, 2, 1. That was an experiment today. Amy, due to her health status, isn't able to be up this late, is on the East Coast, and so I did something I've never done before, and that was pre-record her show earlier today and managed to get it into the studio tonight. So I hope you were enlightened or enjoyed. How can you really enjoy that story? I hope you got something out of Amy's story, and most of you that I see out in the chat room know my In a Flash page. Feel free to post a comment if you'd like about the interview, and she'll be seeing that. And now I will start unmuting some of the mics. It appears that we've had some kind of a problem with the call-in number tonight, but let's see. I think I know who this is. 803, you're on the air.
It's me, Kim. It's Les Paul. I tried to call in right at the very beginning, and I know it was a pre-recorded show, but I saw it was showing the wrong number right away, and I said, oh, my goodness, it's another problem tonight. So I kept posting it on there. I don't know if everybody saw the number, and I'm not seeing it right now. Someone posted it a minute ago also.
And it's not the 424 number?
No, it's not.
Oh,
and I couldn't log in on the regular 424. I had to call in the number it listed. And now I'm
okay.
Not seeing.
If anybody in the chat room has the real call-in number, please let me know that in the chat room again. Nope, that's not it, Jenny. He's saying that.
Unless they fixed it since then, but I couldn't get it to work. It said use the alternate one when I called it. And it was listed, but now I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Well, you can try to call in on 424-243-9540. And if that's a problem, they'll give you an alternate number. For the last couple of days, Blog Talk Radio has been giving us some grief. And Jenny said she did get in on that number. So you may or may not get in on that number. But if you
okay, here's the number it's listing. 347-637-1089, and it's once again 347-637-1089, and it's right under your name.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, well, good. One of those numbers will get you into the studio tonight. Feel free to try one of those. And I'm sorry, Les Paul, I didn't realize that's why you were in early.
I came on immediately when I saw that. It scared me. I said, oh, no, I don't want her to have a night like I did.
Good Lord. Well, thank you so much for trying. I didn't realize. I thought maybe you were just listening through the phone tonight. So, well, luckily we got the recording off, and I want to thank Amy again for being our guest and sharing her story.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised with one of the comments earlier. You know, really one thing that we all share here is that we're survivors of a brain trauma, regardless of how we got that brain trauma. We've all had one and have been through trauma, and the process of working through that, survived, and then work on making a life worth living and having a good attitude.
Yeah.
And, you know, that applies to not only any kind of a brain impairment, but any kind of a major life-threatening disease and a lot of other things in life. So, you know, that really does put everyone on equal footing, whether they had a car accident or a brain aneurysm. You know, DJ, and I'm going to unmute him in just a second, you know, he had an accident, but he had a shunt. And you...
I had a shunt also.
Oh, geez, and you've got the shunt and the aneurysm. So we've got a little bit of everything on here. And in any case, she certainly had a good attitude, or has a good attitude for all she's been through, don't you think, Les?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Here, let me let DJ. DJ caught me. I wasn't sure, as some of you hosts know, I wasn't sure how to pre-record a show without risking it maybe taking away our nighttime slot, since we're on every day. And so I taped on my old show's time this afternoon. And, of course, nobody knew about it, and I booked the time like a half an hour before we were going to be on, and Amy and I had just been on interviewing for a couple of minutes when DJ logged in, and I felt like I got my hand caught in the cookie jar. I was in the in the middle of the day on the radio, and he said, "Are you doing your show now?" No, just trying something for a little bit later, but... you caught me, didn't you, DJ? You're live.
I spent a lot of time on the internet the last few days. It's a little cold down here for Florida. If it's under 60, we don't go outside.
Oh, you're such a dog. Such a
dog. Might get hit by an orange or a lemon. You know, we really try to be careful under 60 here. We got to put on like long pants. Under 50, we got to put on a jacket. It can get ugly. It can get really ugly. So we stay in a lot. No, my comments tonight are really about shunts, aneurysm clips, and stents. I think people don't really know all of this. It is amazing what I've learned. Somebody wrote me once in my family, and they said, "It is absolutely amazing what you have learned. And, you know, what you're able to teach people." And I don't blow my horn very often, but, yeah, I guess I do have a little bit of something to contribute to nearly every show for 2.5 years. But anyway, a subarachnoid hemorrhage is a burst intracranial aneurysm, and I had that from an intraventricular hemorrhage was my injury, which caused a subdural hematoma. You have a dura tissue that's like a sheet over your brain. And once you break that dura, you have a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is below the skull. And it's overwhelming and catastrophic event that strikes without warning during the most productive years of life. I was 41 when I got hurt, and I worked 81 hours out on a boat under a bridge doing bridge column reinforcement, jumping in and out of the water, getting tools, cutting boards, hydraulic cement, and putting a form around. But with the 2 and 3 foot waves that came on during Ophelia back in October of 05, it was very hard to get this job done. There was no helmets. We were on a boat. And I smacked my head on the back of the head on the side of the bridge going under the bridge after lunch on the 5th, and then on the 8th of October, I hit the bottom of the bridge when a wave came up, and it pushed my head down, turned my atlas up at C1, and caused the intraventricular hemorrhage. I still worked another 6 hours. Talk about a hard head.
But hard-headed for sure.
Well, the shunts are... I studied shunts back in 06 because at the year mark, I called my neurosurgeon's office, and I just wanted to thank them for saving my life. And it's become kind of a thing now with me. Every year on October 8th, I call them, and I say, "This is my update. I've got my settlement. I'm doing this. I'm doing that." I said, on the first year, I said, "I do have a question. Why, if my ventricles have returned to size, according to the MRIs, and, you know, the headaches are getting a little bit better, why do I still have to have this shunt?" And they said, "What did you just say?" I said, "You're not supposed to be MRI'd." And I said, "Oh, I've had 7 of them." They said, "What? You don't need MRIs. You've been cleared. You had your shunt put in. There's no signs that it's failing. You don't need MRIs." And that led me to start to believe, why have they done not 1, but 2, but 7 MRIs between the spine? They did an MRI to the cervical, lumbar, and thoracic spine in June of 06, which is about 8 or 9 months after my injury. About 2 weeks after going to Health South, they did an MRI of the brain, which is totally unnecessary. There was other MRIs of the brain done. And the bottom line is, I started studying after a year. I said, "I want my medical records." And you guys are starting to learn how and why I'm the way I am. But I told them, I want my medical records. You're not telling me what this thing is in my head. And that's why. They didn't want me to learn that I'm not supposed to be MRI'd until I was away and gone from them. Well, I didn't leave them until June of 09. So in October of 06, a year into my injury, to learn that, that really started making me realize these people don't know what the F they're talking about. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And you better get your medical records. How many times do I post that? How many times do I say it? You've got to know what's in your body. My sister has a Medtronic drug infusion system. It failed back in 2007 in a parking lot at a grocery store. It infused her with more morphine than any human can handle. She survived it. But I started studying it, and I found out that was recalled by the FDA. Got her to give me the exact numbers, makes, models, and everything. She goes to the UConn Medical Center in Connecticut. She brings it to her doctor, and he goes, oh, I didn't know that. So we've got to know what's in our body, but I was intrigued tonight because it has been about 6 years since I learned about ferromagnetic metal. If your shunt or your aneurysm clips are made of ferromagnetic metal, then apparently it is okay. The problem with a shunt is they're programmable. Mine's programmable, and it's set between 30 and 180 millimeters of water in 10 millimeter of water segments. So it can be set at 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, all the way up to 180. Mine's set at 120 millimeters of water. Where you find out this stuff is on your operative report from your neurosurgeon's office. I looked at this. I found out I have a Codman programmable valve set at 120 millimeters of water. Then back through some of these. The other thing is when you're in these facilities, you need to get your monthly records. And if you have a nurse case manager, you need to get her records. The neurosurgeon's office wrote that my shunt was supposed to be monitored by a neurosurgeon in the Tampa area. Well, I never had a neurosurgeon in the Tampa area until I found out my shunt's been MRI'd 7 times without checking the valve setting. If the valve setting is upset by a magnet in the MRI, and I've read where it can get upset by a basketball in the head. It can get upset by any kind of blow to any part of the head. A lady in our group recently wrote me that she does not feel good. Her eyesight was coming in and out. And I said, that's overdraining. I said, did you fall? Did you do something? She said, well, I helped my daughter move. And, well, that's not a big deal. She said, well, it is. I did kind of bump, bump, bump down the stairs while carrying a couch. And I said, that's all it takes with some people. I have what's called a high-pressure shunt. So it's not likely that anything's going to change it. But a low-pressure shunt, I guess, is a little bit looser. I don't know. But I said, Lorraine, do this. I want you to go to call your neurosurgeon first thing Monday morning. This was Saturday. And I said, call them and say you did fall. You think you have overdraining. You think that the vision problems and the shunt might be malfunctioning and it's overdraining. And that's a lot more than you're usually going to be able to call a neurosurgeon and say. I said, what he needs to do is immediately send you for a CT scan or get you in there and check the programming. She called me on Monday morning at 9:05. She said it didn't even take him 3 minutes. He wants CT imaging immediately. And this is not even an MRI. I mean, you're not supposed to hit these things. She got imaging done later that afternoon. By Thursday, she was in the neurosurgeon's office. He put a programmer on her shunt, got the programming back to where it should be, and she walked out of the office, almost headache-free. She wrote me 2 or 3 days later and said, that's pretty amazing that you know that stuff.
That really is amazing. You have done a lot of studying, and I want to stop you for just 1 second, DJ, and remember, because I do kind of want to know some of the difference between the stent and the shunt, but we're down to about 7 minutes left in the regular program, and if you don't mind, there's a couple people that have had their hand up for a while. I'm going to take their calls, and we can roll over into overtime for anybody who wants to.
Absolutely. I got a couple sites pulled up, stent, shunt, clip, and I want to talk about that just for a few minutes because these are very important subjects, but go ahead.
Good. We'll be looking forward to it, and I appreciate you participating. Area code 765, you're live.
God, my arm's tired. I was waving it.
Muffin, is that you in Indiana?
Hi, Kim. How are you? Yeah, I was joking, everybody. Ha ha, it's okay to laugh.
Yes, it is okay to laugh. Now, tell them what you told me on the email earlier, because I have the same problem as you, and I bet some of our other listeners do too. But you've got to do it in 3 minutes. Talk fast.
Which problem? I went to the riverboat. I had a lot of problems. What?
Okay, don't tell me that problem. I'm afraid it might come. In fact, my callers who are online, if you can wait just a minute, I'm going to make a comment, and then I'll bring us to the end of the hour, and we'll roll over into overtime. We do want anybody to stay. We'll be on for another hour. The live callers will drop off. If you've dialed into the show, and there seems to be some discrepancy over the number tonight, but certainly try to call 424-243-9540 if you want to continue listening to the Overtime Live. Our shows are immediately archived after the show, so you can listen to the show in its entirety at your leisure. We want to thank our sponsor again, TBILaw.com, Gordon Johnson, an attorney who specializes in legal matters of TBI, and we want to thank Craig Cecilia, our master of ceremonies on Brain Injury Radio, who started the show and extended it to 7 nights a week. In a minute, I'll be closing, but since I did come up a little bit short here, I'll say that Matt sent me a message today, and we'll let him talk too at the end of the hour about this, but he went to a casino this past weekend, and the flashing lights and the sound of the coins dropping and all the various noises and things, what he was describing is what I call sensory overload, same kind of thing that I can get if I'm at a party and there's multiple conversations going on. I find it very hard to track any one of those conversations, let alone keep track of the different veins of conversation. And I think that's one of the residuals that a lot of us suffer from. And again, I don't know the technical name for it, but to me it's called sensory overload, and it's just where you feel kind of anxious and nauseous and really just can't track with what's going on. We've got casinos not far from here, and my husband go once, maybe twice a year, and I'm lucky if I can be in there for an hour. Too bad, you know, this is the Midwest. It's one of the fun things to do, but I just can't handle the flashing lights. I thank God that I didn't have my aneurysm during the disco era when I was coming up, or I never would have learned to dance, by golly. But we are down to 90 seconds now, so I am going to close the show in the usual way that should bring us over into overtime. And then we'll let DJ finish telling us the difference between shunts and stents for those of you who want to stay or tune in later. I want to thank all of the live listeners who are here this evening. And again, I want to thank our guest, Amy, for sharing with us. And I'm going to close in the usual way with something I believe that we all have, and that's a guardian angel. This is by Leah West. Check her out at leahwest.com. Guardian angel. Good night, folks.
God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you. Hoping and praying, everyone is.
Okay, that rolled us right over into overtime. I do have just a couple other people who did stay on. I'll unmute, and then we'll pick you back up, DJ. This is area code 111. You're on the line. Yes.
Okay, I dialed in on 347-637-1089.
Okay, let me try something, Keith Anthony. You're up. You're the next one up, too. Did you dial in two ways?
I came in on Skype as well, in case I got disconnected, because I can only do 75 minutes on the phone, and I pay. And but I've dialed this number, 347-637-1089, just to check it, and it works.
Thank you, because so, what's showing up on my board is 111111, so I don't even have that number, but could you again, and then I'm going to open your Skype because it sounds better. I'm going to mute this one, but one more time and I'll shut up. Will you say, well, it's too late now, they can't call in now anyway because we're after the hour.
No.
But
well, yes,
okey-dokey.
I did put it into the chat box as well.
Yes.
I've sent you a screenshot of it.
Gotcha.
And I've done my best.
You did a good job. I just couldn't figure it out because the board is loaded. There's people. There's probably a dozen people on the board here. So I don't know how they were getting in, but they got lucky. So I'm going to hang this up, KA, and I'm going to bring you back live. Are you with me?
Hello, I'm here, yes.
Good. And you're sounding very clear. So
yeah,
before,
very clear.
Yeah, very clear. That phone number that they gave you was kind of a bum number. It had a little static on it, but thank you for trying. I don't know what the heck's been going on with Blog Talk Radio the last couple of nights, but
it went crazy on mine.
I know, it really did. I was probably lucky I had a tape, but in any case, everybody will get a chance to share.
It
but
seems
I
there
did,
two
I,
numbers working. Is that right?
I guess so, because
DJ,
Jennifer
you're
called
on
in 540. Yeah, Jennifer called in on the 424 number, I believe. So I'm going to go back since I cut him off. I apologize for cutting you off, but DJ, go ahead and finish up telling us what you were about the shunt slash stent, and then we'll have some other callers.
Yes, thank you. As I said, back in 2006, I called my neurosurgeon's office and I thanked them. I told them it's a year anniversary, what I'd been through since I left ICU. And, one of the things you've got to do is get your medical records and you got to know what's in your body. And I covered that already. But what I'd like to read real quick is something from MRISafety.com, which I've never seen before. I'm still learning new websites and stuff. The surgical management of intracranial aneurysms and arteriovenous malformations.
Are you going to fire us?
The aneurysm clips is a well-established procedure. The presence of an aneurysm clip in a patient referred for an MR procedure presents a situation that requires the utmost consideration because of the associated risks. Certain types of intracranial aneurysm clips, e.g., those made from martensitic, MARTENSITIC, martensitic stainless steels such as 17-7PH or 405 stainless steel are contraindication to the use of MR procedures because excessive magnetically induced forces can displace these implants and cause serious injury or death.
And that was mine. That's the kind of clip I've got.
I'm pretty sure that's what I have. I was told I could never be MRI'd.
Me too. Okay, sorry, DJ. There's two of us.
By comparison, aneurysm clips classified as non-ferromagnetic or weakly ferromagnetic, those made from PHYNOX, Phoenix, Phoenix, ELGILOY, Elgaloy, austenitic stainless steel, titanium alloy, or commercially pure titanium are acceptable for patients undergoing MR procedures.
Wow, I didn't know that.
How would you like to learn about that problem after it's already there?
Exactly.
Now, I remember calling, and, you know, this is why I call places, and I know that Ms. Corbin got upset at me a few weeks ago, but sometimes you just need to get the right answer. I called Tower Diagnostics, and I said, I've had several MRIs from your place, and I have a Codman programmable valve set at 120 millimeters of water. And they said, yes, sir. I said, you know, we have you sign releases that if you have any metal in your body, you know, let us know. And I said, oh, well, I probably did. I said, but the valve setting needs to be checked to see if the magnets change. And they said, well, that's not our responsibility. I said, well, don't you think maybe it's your responsibility to say, hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but after we do this, you need to have your valve setting checked, and maybe you should sign something that says that. And the lady was kind of defensive.
God.
This is why I've become the way I am. You guys are really starting to learn. Every show I've got something to tell you that just really didn't go right. They kept a lot of stuff from me. The stuff that's in my body wasn't my – I wasn't to be told about it, I guess, but you've got to learn yourself. But to finish this up, may demonstrate some extremely low ferromagnetic qualities using highly sensitive measurements techniques, vibrating sample magnetometer, superconducting quantum interference device, or SQUID magnetometer. How many people with a brain injury are even going to know this?
No kidding. I don't even understand it now when you're reading it. Isn't that what they go to school for? God.
May not be technically referred to as being... Well, the thing is, Kim, it's like I try to teach people. One doctor, you have a neuropsychologist, you have a psychologist, you have a psychiatrist, a neurologist, a neurosurgeon. There's five doctors right there that probably don't give a damn about the other ones. Then you have a cardiologist, you have, you know, some people have nutritionists. I mean, some people can have 8, 9, and 10 different doctors. You have a primary doctor. Primary says, well, I think you should get an MRI on your spine because you slipped and fell. Well, your primary is probably right. But if you don't tell the primary, I got this thing in my head. Hell, when I get my hair cut, I tell the barber, you know, that lump is not a spare bullet. It's a shunt. It sticks out of my head. Anybody that's seen my pictures knows that I shaved my head bald about 4 years ago because I wanted to see what the hell this thing looked like. And it sticks out of the top right frontal lobe.
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a valve in there. Quick story, there was a girl, when I started learning about this, I started Googling, you know, shunt malfunctions. And this is one of the wildest stories ever. This little girl, 7, 8 years old, kept presenting at the hospital as passed out. And in the end, they kept... putting a programmer, there's a programmer that they plug into the wall and they put it on your head and it works with magnets and it can just take your setting and put it back to where it was. She literally 2 and 3 times got back up as soon as the shunt was set back to where it was supposed to be. I think it was 60 millimeters of water. And she just kind of woke back up and boom. If it over drains, it's going to pull. It's going to overdrain your cerebral spinal fluids made in the ventricles of your brain. Some people have slit ventricles, which means that the cerebral spinal fluid will build up, and it's kind of like having a brain bleed. It will push on your brain, and you will pass out. You'll vomit. You'll pass out. But if it overdrains, you can lose your vision. You can have severe headaches, and it kind of dries up your spine. That's not good either. It can... I've read where it can start to tear the dura tissue off your brain. Anyway, long story short, they said, follow this girl from now on, 24 hours a day until we figure this out. They literally had to have somebody with her all the time. And I think I've never had kids, but I had a brother born when I was 12 and lived with my sister when she had 2 kids in 10 months when I was 19. So I've seen kids run around, and they are impossible to follow 24 hours a day, but they did it. Here's the kicker. They found out that the little girl loved to go up to the TV, and we've all done it. We love to go up to the TV when we're kids, rub your head up against the TV, and what happens? Your hair goes.
Oh. Electric.
You're going to make me melt.
Valve setting. TVs, especially the older ones, had very strong magnets in them. And those magnets are strong enough to change the valve setting. They moved the TV, long story short, they moved the TV up about 6 or 7 feet, you know, to 6 or 7 feet. It never happened to that girl again.
Wow.
Airport magnets can do it, technically. I've been an MRI'd 7 times, about 8 now, and it's never changed the settings. So it may not do it, or it could. So anyway, to finish that up, to refer to as being non-magnetic, all metals possess some degree of magnetism, such that no metal is entirely non-magnetic.
Exactly.
MR procedures have been used to evaluate patients with certain types of aneurysm, clips, Becker and all, using MR systems that range from 0.35 to 0.6 Tesla. That's the other thing. There's different Tesla magnets. There's 1, 2, 3 Tesla magnets. Range from 0.35 to 0.6 Tesla, studied 3 patients with non-ferromagnetic aneurysm clips. One patient, Yasa Girl, 316 LVM stainless steel. 2 patients, Very Angle McFadden, MP35N, 316 LVM. And 1 patient with ferromagnetic aneurysm clip, Heifetz aneurysm clip, without incident, Dujovny and all. Similarly reported no adverse effects of patients with non-ferromagnetic aneurysm clips that underwent procedures using 1.5 Tesla MR systems. Pride and all performed a study in patients with non-ferromagnetic aneurysm clips that underwent MR imaging. There were no adverse outcomes for the patients, confirming that MR procedures can be performed safely with patients with non-ferromagnetic clips. Brothers
right.
And all,
it'd be interesting to know what year they changed, because if mine was the highly magnetized, never go near a magnet kind in 95, and Amy's, she was told in 97 that she was safe to have MRIs. I wonder, and that technique, those micro neurosurgical techniques, were relatively new when I had my procedure done in 95. I wonder how many years they used those highly magnetized. That'd be interesting to find out. But DJ, thank you so much for that backstory information. We're just like mouths agape here online and in the chat room.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
You're awesome, man.
Yeah, DJ, really.
To finish up and let everybody else talk, but the information is in your operative report from the neurosurgeon who put the stuff in your brain.
And I'll ditto that with DJ, and I've said it before that, you know, when he says that about the medical records, and you might listen to it and think, oh, I'll get them later, or, you know, you put it on the back burner or whatever. When I called to get a copy of my medical records, they told me that back in 95 they weren't scanning, you know, there weren't computers on everyone's desk back then, and they simply didn't have the storage area, that they destroyed records over 10 years old. And it was a miracle, and a whole nother story for another show, but my medical records were not there. They didn't have my medical record. And my doctor had moved, my neurosurgeon had been a visiting neurosurgeon. I've said that before on the show. I was really blessed there because we didn't have a surgeon capable of doing the surgery that saved my life, but there happened to be one here teaching them who had studied under that Yasser Gill, that who made the clips that you were just reading about. He was deemed the father of micro neurosurgical techniques in like Neurology magazine back in the 90s, and my doctor had studied under him, and then he was here in town teaching our doctors how to do the procedure at the time. But in any case, you know, the doctor was gone, the hospital had destroyed the records, and so it's no joke, you know. Hear DJ loud and clear when he tells you to get copies of your medical records, because you can't trust other people to hang on to that stuff.
And yeah.
It's a matter of life and death. it might be something that you want to get copies of everything and have it someplace at home, you know, safe and sound where you know where it is, because you just can't really speak in the magnets. That's another thing, you know, maybe one comes by the hospital these days where they're scanning everything and wipes the hard drive or something, you know. So whether it was paper records that they simply don't store anymore, or some kind of a malfunction at the hospital or the doctor's office that zaps your medical records away, heed what he says and get copies of those medical records. And the first thing.
I'm sorry, you need to take them on vacation, too. There was a lady going on vacation in the hydrocephalus group a few years back, and I said, do you have copies of what kind of shunts that you or your kids, whoever has hydrocephalus, has? Because, I mean, come on, let's face it, kids go canoeing, they jump in and out of boats, they throw beach balls at each other, footballs, basketballs, they fall. I said, what if you're in the middle of Colorado and you're from Arkansas, and something happens to somebody in your family with a shunt? Do you have the operative report to give to a hospital and say, this is what it is? Now, the last part of that is, there's another little technique people need to know about. It's called live fluoroscopy. It's like a little spaceship. They put your face down, and they elevate your head so that your chin is actually straight up. And what they do is they get this little flying saucer thing that comes over your head, and it can take a picture of the valve, and there's a little white dot, at least on mine. I don't know about, and there's several kinds. There's Medtronic, there's Codman, there's a lot of different types of shunts. You need to know what you got. You know, they can find a little white dot on mine, and then there's this little thing that they do. It looks like a protractor or something, and there's a way to look at where the white dot is, and they can tell if it's at 120 millimeters of water without putting a programmer on your head. But it's called live fluoroscopy. So that can be done as well to check the valve. And then there's a shunt series X-ray, and if they do it wrong and they shoot it from too far away, they cannot see the valve setting.
I also want to mention, Jenny just said, and it's a good idea, and then I'm going to let Frank talk. Frank, I just unmuted you. I think that's you, but I want to repeat Jenny's
comment. What time, 8 or 10 o'clock, real quick?
Muffin.
I've been waiting 10 or 15 minutes to ask that question. So I put down 8 or 7 or 10 o'clock when I put down the show. I haven't done this forever.
Okay. Anyway, what Jenny said, just to finish up on DJ's point, is that it would be a good idea to save our records on a single flash drive that we can keep in a fire-safe area, and also makes it easy when you travel. So that's a real good idea. If you can get those records, I'm sure someone can scan them onto a flash drive, and that would be a wonderful way to storm. In fact, I'm so glad you said that, Jenny. Tomorrow I'm gonna take those medical records that miraculously showed up with someone when I was told they were destroyed, and get those puppies scanned onto a flash drive. So that is an excellent suggestion out of both
make
of
sure,
you.
Make sure your flash drive has some kind of safety on it so everybody on Earth can't look at it, though. That's one thing you're supposed to do.
Well, if they can understand it, they can. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So 585.
That is me, Kim. Thank you. You did a great job tonight.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. How are you doing, Frank? You've been holding a long time. Thank you for your patience. But we were getting a primer on shunts.
I do want to make 3 comments, if I can remember what they were. First of all, my medical records were out in some underground bunker out in Utah. I got trapped in this fire in 1980. I had to go and make sure I got copies of them. I don't know where the hell they are, but I had to prove, in order for me to get into the TBI waiver 7 or 8 years ago, my doctor had to request these records from an underground bunker out in Utah someplace. So this is really a very great point here about keeping your records.
Wow.
Now, then there was, I was going to say, Hope. Now, Amy, she was great. Now, Amy was having a voice. She had this voice test. She had a voice doctor. Where was that? It was at Vanderbilt University or Vanderbilt Hospital. I can't remember. I did a search online. I think that is Vanderbilt Hospital in Tennessee, right? In Nashville, Tennessee, right?
I'm not sure. When she said that, I know she had the same area code as DJ, so my guest Amy lives in the Fort Myers area of Florida, but she did say she had that one vocal cord surgery at Vanderbilt, and I don't know, Frank. You're probably right.
I could have thought you were asking her for me because my voice box has been damaged, and I could have sworn you were asking her questions that are going to get me up interested in getting home to this University of Vanderbilt, wherever the heck that is. So I'd like for you to make sure that Amy could get hold of me and tell me where that was done. That's something else.
Okay, I sure will. And you know she was recorded, so I couldn't
I know
ask
she
her.
Was. How'd that recording go? Did that help you get that done or not? The information I gave you last night?
Well, I actually did it on my old half-hour show, just like you would do it on your show, your daytime show.
And
then
you downloaded to this other show, right?
Yes, Work Like a Charm.
I knew that worked if you did that. Thank you for allowing me to tell you about that.
Oh, no, thank you for telling me. I was completely clueless when she asked me. She said her health didn't allow her to be up late at night. She just wouldn't be able to do the interview. Could we pre-record it? And I was like, gulp.
I know.
But that was very helpful, and it worked great.
Thank you. And there was a third thing I wanted to ask. Who is this guy, DJ? I thought we had two DJs on our show. DJ Alessian, or is that DJ? And who was the DJ who was talking about the shunts?
Same one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It's our DJ.
It sounded like someone else. I didn't recognize his voice. I'd love to have him on my afternoon show. He knows so much about this shunt business. I know nothing at all about that. But I'd be honored and blessed if he is listening, if he could be my guest on my afternoon show.
He's on, and you can find him. DJ runs Team High Level. It's a Facebook page. I'm not sure if you're a member of that, but DJ does a great job disseminating information on his Facebook page, just like what he was telling us. But you guys are both in my friends on Facebook, so you guys can hook up, and if that works out, that would be great. But Frank, it's called Team High Level. It's TEAMHILEVEL.
Okay, thank you, Kim. Thank you for sharing him with me. I thought that this was a different DJ than the guy who was he's been on talking before, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's great. In fact, DJ is also a host. He just doesn't do the weekly show. He was smart. He told me, in fact, I remember he joked with me a little bit when Craig and I'll announce this so everyone can hear. Craig, the person responsible for this show and expanding it out to 7 nights a week, is now in the process of developing a 24-hour peer hotline for people with brain injuries to be able to call in and talk to someone. And I made a comment on peer support group. Yes, thanks, Jenny. I made a comment about it, and I said, geez, I don't think I'd be able to volunteer those hours. I get tapped just doing my show, believe it or not, thinking about it during the week and doing research or looking for guests. I didn't think I'd be able to do it. And DJ made this smarty comment to me. That's why he's not a weekly host. So
thank you.
He was smart. So he's very versatile. He can actually, he spends more time than any of us just managing that Facebook page and doing all the studying that he does. But he's also a host on here.
And an awesome one at that.
Yeah, and he's an awesome host. So,
well, I'd love to have him come on my afternoon show and talk more about this shunt business because I had no idea. Now, I have one question for him if he is still on the air.
Hey, Frank.
Is he still on there?
Yes.
He's here.
Okay, DJ. Can you go through a metal detector on the airplane? And do you have to be, what do you have to do to go through the scans at the airport?
I've read where that can be a problem. Those magnets are a little bit different. But I have read where it would be a problem.
I'd have to suggest here, though, Frank, that you check with your doctor about the kind you have, because what DJ was reading is
just I'm curious for what.
Well, even a clip, even a clip.
People who have these shunts,
right? Again, it depends on what it's made out of, and the best person to check with on that is probably your doctor.
I don't care what it is shoved into your body. You need to know what it is.
That's for sure.
You need to take some paperwork with you on vacation, and yes, I
always recommend. You got me feeling my head.
I know.
The Hydro Pioneers group, I interviewed Ron Kelleher a few months back. He's got the amazing Hydro Pioneers group. There's over 1,200 people in there, and there's no group on Facebook that, you know, we got a pretty active group and team high level, but it's not even close. Somebody in that group, ask a question, they get 30, 40 responses within minutes. There's 1,200 people in that group. But Ron is amazing, and he really gets he's funny. He's got a great sense and character to him. He really knows about shunts, and answers go flying around. But, yes, magnets in the airport can set a valve off on a shunt. I've not seen any specific articles proving that. I've read where it blows to the head like a basketball hitting the back of the head. Now, shunts get loaded in three different places that I've read, over by the clavicle, in the occipital rear left or rear right, up above, just above the neck there. And mine is top loaded. So there's also different places where it can be a shunt. So and Frank, I just want to tell you, Mike Nicholson and I were on your Mike Nicholson was on your show when he was starting to get that bill passed through.
Yes, he was.
Right, I called into that show because I went to my my Congressman Buchanan. I wrote a 5-page report on how my father was a volunteer fireman, my mother was a volunteer ambulance personnel person. And I called into one of your shows. I used to listen to your shows. They were all very good.
Thank you, DJ. I'd be honored and blessed if you could be my guest on one of my upcoming episodes. So if I could give you my email address, it is iamfantasticfrank@gmail.com. And if you could email me out, we could get you in on my show as early as next, not tomorrow. I have a guest already, but no guest for following Thursday. Thank you.
Oh, we're friends on Facebook, and I get about 100 advocacy emails a day. I don't really want to add more, but we're friends on Facebook. What I can do is get you in I'll put you in the team high level group. We can side chat and work all this out, but you know, let's let Kim run her show.
DJ, you are pretty knowledgeable about this subject, and I'd love to have you come on my show and talk about some of these details, which I'm sure Kim wanted to talk to you about, but she didn't have the opportunity yet to talk to you about that.
Thank you, DJ, and thank you, DJ. I just wanted to say I'm not going to unmute them, but area code 484, if you do want to talk, press 1. I don't want anybody, every now and again, we have somebody who forgets to press 1 who does want to talk, and every now and again, we unmute someone who doesn't want to talk, so we had a host meeting last week on a number of matters, and this is one of them, so I just thought I would throw that out there, area code 484. If there is anything you'd like to say, feel free to press 1, and I'll know it, and otherwise, thank you for being here and listening, as well as everybody else. So, Keith Anthony, what's going on with you?
Kim?
Yes, Frank.
Why did you have to use a different code tonight to get into the Blog Talk Radio show?
I don't know. You know, last night, Les Paul had a lot of technical difficulty on his show, and tonight, apparently, I had some difficulty on my show that I wasn't even aware of. I had the same number, that 424 show, and Jennifer said she got into it, the 424 number. I've got a friend who's been listening to the show, I think, down at the bottom of the board, and I bet she dialed the 424 number. But, yeah,
I did,
other
too.
People...
Mine directed me to.
Okay, yeah. There was a problem with Blog Talk Radio. I'm not sure, Frank. I didn't even know until... Les Paul tried to let me know.
Kim, can I just say something to you? Thank
please.
You so much for helping me last night when it messed up so bad when my guest was there and everything. I mean, this is what team support is all about, and I mean, it was really bad because my guest couldn't even get through. He called me today, and he was apologizing, saying, "I'm sorry, I don't know what happened to my phone. I couldn't get through." And I said, "No, it was something with our phone." And I mean, he called me while I was driving to work today, and we had a special. We had an Ed Roberts Day today, and I actually got to sing "Happy Birthday" to Ed Roberts today at work. They asked me to do it, and they had a cake in his honor, and we watched a film on him. I'm not going to talk long, but I just wanted to tell you this. It was amazing, and we watched a film on him about his life. I recommend that everybody study up on Ed Roberts as much as they can. I mean, he was paralyzed from about the chin up, and he had the use of two fingers, and that was all. The rest of his body was just non-functional in that sense. But he would say, "You think I've got a problem? You've got a problem if you don't understand what I'm talking about." That's why I talked about independent living so much yesterday, because it was the day before Ed Roberts Day. And his story is amazing. It really is. And what he's done and how he taught people to move forward and just believe in themselves. And it kind of hurts when you first do it, when they say, "I'm not going to do it for you anymore." After a certain time, you're going to do it for yourself. And it was just beautiful. But today we had a couple of, maybe 300 people come to where I work. And we had a huge cake, and we were having a celebration in honor of him. I only got a couple of pictures because my camera messed up. But thank you for what you did last night for me, because you helped me tremendously, Kim. I was saying, "Dear God, I can't get through," and I've got a wonderful guest on that's a national public speaker, and he can't get through.
I felt so bad for you, and that was pretty cool to... We learned another thing we learned is that we have a dial out feature here from the studio. So if we want to call someone, we can, instead of you guys calling in. And we tried to get a hold of that guest last night. I felt so bad for you. Sounded like you had such a great guest and the timing was so good. I don't know, there's just nothing we can do when Blog Talk Radio messes up and has technical difficulties. We do the best we can, but I wanted to get in there and try to help you, so you could maybe try to find your guest.
I know. Well, fortunately, he said he'll come on. And he said also, as some other events come on, he'll have some of the big national speakers come on and speak and help us show why independent living is so important for every disability and why it'll expand Brain Injury Radio and all the different things related to it.
Wow. And DJ just put a link into the
Ed
Roberts
DJ, I see
story.
That.
So anybody who wants to read about that, if you're in the chat room, you can check out DJ's link and otherwise Google Ed Roberts, and that was good. So your event went well yesterday.
It did. It was wonderful today.
Good. Les Paul works at an independent living center and is taught all of us, taught me especially, because I didn't know. I thought it was a place you lived, but for rehab, but certainly has had a lot of informative things to tell us about independent living. And so, you know, we appreciate that. And I'm really glad your event went well today. Maybe you should sing Happy Birthday on radio to Ed, because I think that the airwaves will transmit to where he is.
I didn't think of that. Oh, boy, you really put me on the spot. Let me see. I'll try to do it, but I hope I'll remember what I want to say. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ed Roberts, the father of independent living for us and the ADA.
That was great.
That was awesome. That was really nice. Les Paul, for those of you who might be new listeners, he sings to us, and I love that. So now, for the first time, I'm going to actually remember.
Yay.
The applause button, and not. The buzzer, perhaps.
You get to have all the fun tonight.
That's pretty crowd was 20 seconds, but sorry. Yes. Yay.
Yay, yay.
Yay, Les
go
Paul.
Ed Roberts, go, yay.
That's pretty cool. Those sound effects are all, as you hosts know, up at the top of the soundboard,
yeah.
But because my scroller goes kind of slow, at the beginning of the show, I always scroll down to the K's where my sound bites are. That's why I seldom remember or ever make it up to those sound effects. I know Keith Anthony loves the carpet and whatever that when he plays that for us all the time, but I can't ever find those darn sound effects. That was kind of fun. Boy, I could just sit there and play with those for the rest of the time, but I won't. I know we got some people listening that probably don't want to hear them all, but that's pretty fun to have those toys on there. We don't. Another thing about the studio for people listening out there is that during the daytime, or not the daytime, the nighttime, any time that we're not on air, we're not able to hear the things that we've uploaded into the studio. And so, you know, every now and again, we like to try these things when we're online, but that's pretty cool. Great song. I'm sure Ed appreciates the heck out of that, and neat way to remember today. So let's see. What have we got? We still got DJ, Les Paul, Frank. Who's 765?
Muffin?
Muffin?
Hi.
Hi. There?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. I dropped my phone once.
Well, what are you doing out there, Muffin?
I am writing my ad or whatever you call it this week. I am the other Brain Injury Radio. Probably.
Okay, Muffin's almost completely muted, but DJ, that is not original.
Hi.
I say that all the time. Have you seen the Muffin Man? While you're unmuting yourself, because we can't hear you at all, I will say to our audience that this is actually our Sunday night host, Matt Duffin, and the first time that I saw his name in the chat room, I must have been tired, because what I saw was Muffin.
It's on your vaporizer.
Yeah. You know, my friend, actually, would probably be, I'm letting her listen because she doesn't have her hand up, but I should unmute her for just a second. We'll see if she's listening. Carla, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Carla, this is my friend Carla, you guys. You can't
hello,
see.
Hello, Carla.
That,
hi,
but,
Carla, her friend.
Carla.
No, you love everyone's friend, Muffin.
I'm smart ass
like
and Muffin. Flirt, and I'm one hell of a one at it. Well, how you doing, honey?
I'm doing great.
The reason why I decided to have her on for a second is because Matt, the other night, he was given a vaporizer. And this vaporizer, apparently, if you put different herbs in it, it will give you different effects. And
so far, I've only put one herb in it, but yes, okay.
So, Carla, things like lavender, they relax you, right?
Right.
Right? Do you know any other ones? We were trying to think of ones the other night. There was one he was telling us about for headaches, and let me see. I think I can remember. There was three ingredients. He said peppermint and marjoram. It's one that's in our spice rack that I've never used. Marjoram.
You mean all of them?
Yeah, three things. I gave up and suggested maybe that Les Paul try a tea kettle, you know, put those things in there. I can't remember what the third ingredient was. Where's your recipe book, Matt? Anyway, he got this vaporizer and he could only...
I haven't got it yet. Oh, I got the recipe book somewhere. Hello,
I'm still afraid the Martian's going to get me.
I know. He was telling us what kind of herbs he was using in the vaporizer the other night. I was hoping we could get some helpful herbs on.
I think peppermint kind of snaps you out of it and wakes you up.
DJ put peaches in herb.
Oh,
the car dealers down at the Horseshoe really liked it. It seemed to work for them, for me. It didn't do very well. But that's another thing, you know. They don't have all the whistles and bells that they used to because the slot machines have all changed to video. But there's still so much noise, so much difference, shiny, flat. There's more flash of the lights now because there's more video. It's just... Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you. So you had the sensory overload or the overstimulation from all of that?
I'll tell you what, I'm glad we stayed for two nights because, yeah, yesterday I had to go take a break for about 8 hours in the middle of the day. I went back to the room, took a nap, watched the rawhide, took another nap. I was good to go. But, you know, it was just too much. It was just too much. You know, they went on a plate, party, all that. Hell, they're allowed to drink. I'm not, so they can do whatever they want.
Well, did you win? We all want to know if you won.
I did real good up until late last night. Then I got a little bit. You talk about sensory overload. You can't lose your. I know better. I'm not ready yet. You can't lose your money and try to get it all back at once. You just can't, no matter what you play. And I know better. But I had a good time.
But did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a good time. I had a real good time.
Well, that's the
well,
point.
Good. So, well, that's okay. As long as you had a good time. I mean, no matter what we do, not no matter what we do, but a lot of things we go out and do cost money, whether it's a movie or out to dinner or whatever. So you probably won't be back there real soon, will you?
Oh, you have to keep this tied into it's over.
I hadn't been out and celebrated or had a good time yet. I needed to get the hell away. You know?
That's right.
Don't over-celebrate. You might have something happen to you.
I did.
Yeah.
Two and a half days, a couple good friends, so life was good.
Do you realize you could have a brain injury if you get too happy? You got to calm down.
Yes.
Hopefully there wasn't a magnet on that boat.
When they switched that dealer on me late last night, that pretty much took all my little self-confidence I was gaining up. It kind of put it back in the box.
What?
I'm better now. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're better. I'm glad you did get a chance to get away. That was a long struggle for those that don't know, and we don't have time to go into it in detail, but Muffin's been involved in a court case, and it was long and arduous and painful, and he came out a winner, and so he got to get away for a couple days and celebrate and get a little sensory overload, but have some fun doing it. So that is great.
And I even walk quite a bit. I mean, you know, they cart you around pretty good, but I did my share of walking, and that felt good, you know?
Huh.
Oh, and
yeah.
You can just not get into that, but it just felt good.
Where was the casino?
Yeah, where was it?
This is one right outside of Louisville on the Indiana side. New Albany is called Horseshoe.
He's in Indiana.
Didn't know they had them there.
Hell, they're everywhere. Well, they're mostly river boats, but we have a casino in French Lick. Now, I do have to knock that off my list sometimes this summer because they build it after I hit my head. I ain't been there yet. The home of Larry Bird, that French Lick, it ain't bigger than Milton, and somehow they built a casino down there.
Yeah, well, they draw people to the neighborhood when they do that, that's for sure. In fact, we ought to do a shout-out of where we're from so she knows. My friend Carla is here. We're in Omaha, so that would be Nebraska, for those of you that don't know. Every now and then we run into
traveling studios in Omaha tonight.
That's right, the traveling studio, and Muffin is from Indiana. Les Paul is from South Carolina. Rochester, New York. And I'm not even going to say where DJ is from because he's making me really mad. DJ's from Florida, and I keep talking about how cold it is here, and he keeps talking about
how warm
it is there. Mm-hmm.
You have to keep that to yourself.
He's going to have to wear a T-shirt.
I know. He does that on Paradise, he puts. He's always saying that he's sitting there with his, you know, deck door open with the nice ocean breeze coming in and taunting me when I'm talking about it being 5 degrees and snowy here. He's just always looking for trouble that way.
How would you like it if we all came down and joined you?
That's what I said. I think we should have a road trip to DJ's place, boy.
Let's go.
Move over, Francie. There's only about 20 of us coming down there.
Because we've been punished.
No kidding. How's
really
your weather,
today,
Frank?
It's cold in Rochester. We had maybe 4 or 5 or 6 inches of snow today.
Oh, wow.
It was about 5 degrees out when I got up. My dogs were outside for about 5 minutes. They both had to come inside. One of them pooped in my living room.
Oh, no.
See what can happen with this cold weather?
I know. They don't want to go outside, though. But they have to go outside. And I feel very bad we have to leave it outside. But my neighbors, they haven't called the cops on me yet.
Oh. You don't have the dog outside now, do you?
No, they met inside, but they were outside for 5 minutes at 8:50.
Oh.
They just couldn't stand it out there.
They couldn't stand it out there. I had to bring them. But I took them out for a walk. I think it was at 8:50 or so. And they didn't want to come back in the house because they hadn't done their business yet. I had to leave outside for 5 minutes, and then they did their business.
That's good to know.
I think
we caught your dog doing that before.
Sure.
On
international day, over the people are listening, they're laughing their ass off at what I'm saying. I know.
Frank, God. You're being a little spunky tonight. Thank God we only got 10 minutes left. You'd get us banned by the FDA.
Okay, you have to give our sponsor another plug, though.
Okay, I shall. I would really like to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, attorney at law. If you have any litigation issues or questions about your TBI, check out the website tbi.com and Gordon Johnson, who sponsors our show. We appreciate the heck out of that.
Yes, I do want to say that even though I might have said a couple of words that could be construed as not being in good taste, he has never banned me from doing my show.
Well, keep working on it.
keep it that way. We can't have you kicked off tonight.
I don't want to be banned. I love doing my show.
Well,
exactly.
You better watch that literal and figurative potty mouth that you've got going on.
Oh, DJ said he's interviewing him on the 18th.
Oh, that's great. The elusive
cool, DJ
Johnson. I've seen his voice. I've heard his voice on these cool, what are they on, about 18 now? Those installments, the interviews he's doing Craig?
With Craig, all those interviews, yes.
Yeah,
well,
but
everybody knows about those. Everybody ought to check those out. They're really good.
I keep getting them via email. Do you know where they're posted?
I'm trying
anybody
to remember.
Yeah, if anybody thinks of that, I've been getting them via email, so I didn't pay attention. I just click on it and listen to it. It's like I am with Facebook pages. I can't keep track of anything. But
you just reminded me of something. I just want to tell you. I don't want to interrupt your show much, but Craig was on a radio show the other night, the other day, and I got it, and I forgot to share it with everybody. I forgot to listen to it, and I came in and saw where I'd saved it, and I listened to it later. He was interviewed on I don't want to call it a senior show, but something like that. And they were all just blown away. Did anybody hear that? You can listen to it, and I don't remember how to find it. If I can, I'll send it to everybody.
Great.
It's like a 30-minute to an hour interview on radio, and the lady that was interviewing him, very good. The lady that was interviewing was just blown away by brain injury statistics. He was just feeding brain injury statistics, and she said, I didn't know it's the number one injury for senior citizens, caused mainly by falls. So he did a very good interview, and I forgot to say anything about that to him.
And that's a topic, too, I've got coming up. A representative from the National Safety Council is going to be talking about fall prevention.
Okay.
And
that's good.
That will kind of dovetail with that. But no, I didn't hear it. Craig's just been all over the place. Yeah, poor Craig, Jenny says, because of all the interviews that he's been doing, both video and radio interviews. And then, of course, he's the one who started this whole program and is normally the Monday night host on this show. So he's quite the advocate and
sure
awareness raiser when it comes to TBIs, and I think this is his moment to really shine with all the talk of, you know, with the veterans coming home and with all the talk about sports, you know, in the news lately. It seems like it's a good time for awareness and advocacy for brain injury. Sorry, I was reading, I was kind of excited. He said DJ says from the chat room, Craig said Monday that Clear Channel is listening to us, which that is very exciting to
me. Wow.
Yeah, we're already on Citadel AM radio network, and Clear Channel happens to be the one, it's quite a bit bigger, and it happens to be the one that would cover the AM channels in my area. I'm not sure how big they are and where all they go, but that would be like KFAB, Carla, for us. So this show would be playing on KFAB.
Well, I got to talk to Craig about 4 or 5 days ago, and he was talking to me about some of this, and he said it's really exciting, some of the things that are going on. And he said with our numbers continually growing and getting better, he says he really thinks we've got a chance at that. So I think we've really got some wonderful things coming.
I think so, too. And on that one statistic, I don't know what it was, but did one of you guys see 48,000?
Yes. He posted that how many have I don't know how long a period of time that was, but it was something like 48 or 49,000 the last time I looked at it.
42. Oh.
And those
so
were just...
So we had the average?
Yeah, and those were just login people that logged in. So the trackable, those are just the trackable.
I saved it on Facebook somewhere. I'm looking for it.
Listeners. So anybody else who's just coming on and clicking on and not logging into anything, they don't necessarily have a way to track those. So there can be, you know, 3-4 times that 48,000 listening. And, you know, keeping in mind also that since the shows are archived and people listen to them at their leisure, you know, the numbers at any given time that are showing on our reports that he sends out are all static because somebody might turn right around and, you know, be leafing through the shows and see a topic that they're interested in, you know, a month from now from, you know, an older show.
Yeah, that's why he leaves them up there so that people can still continue listening and they get counted later. I don't know
right.
if everybody knows that.
No. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it works that way. I don't know how far, but it does it for a certain amount of time at least. It might do it the whole time. I'm not certain.
Cool. We just have about 5 minutes left. I want to see what this is.
Glass.
Glass breaking. Yes, it is. Ding, 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 ding. All right.
Anytime you'd ever need
glass
that.
Houses album.
Right. I give away rubber ducks for these things, so Carla gets it for glass breaking. All right. What about this one?
Ow. Ow.
Okay, I'm never.
Fire alarm at school.
Bye, kids. Bye.
I can't hear you.
Night, Muffin. I'm never going to play that one again. That one really
hurts.
Never again. In fact, I'm going to delete that school bell out of this studio someday in the middle of the night because it made me feel like this.
That was funny.
The crowd groan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. So we have, what's B-O-ing? B-O-ing. 1 second.
Boing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I gotcha.
You spelled it wrong or what?
Yes. In the chat room, it's spelled B-E-O-I-N-G. Boing.
That's probably Craig. He can't spell.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that one and the other one that wasn't spelled right that I was looking at. But anyway, well, that's cool. I've gotten to not only have a great two guests, DJ, I'm going to call you the guest and the co-guest along with Amy. And appreciate the support that you gave, not only, you know, the respect you gave her as my guest, but also contributing, you know, giving us some back information to go along with her story. I really appreciate that between the two of you and of course, the regular people in the chat and the hosts. I really appreciate all of you being here and listening tonight. And if you liked Amy, you might want to post something on my In a Flash page underneath the program note, maybe just tell her thanks for being here since she wasn't a live guest, and that would be most appreciated. And so now now I got out of the Kims because I was in these sound effects, and the show will probably be over by the time I make it to my 51-second ending. Let's see. What could you sing for these seconds? No, actually, I'm almost there.
Well, thank
there.
You for a great show again.
Thank yes, Kim. It was outstanding. Thank you.
And DJ, thank you.
Very
all you guys.
Yes.
You guys all rock. Thank you to the listeners.
That's
thank you to
sure.
the participants. Thanks to all of you. Whoa, you guys, our show is over.
Yes.
Frank.
I'm serious. The call's like just dropped.
We still hear you.
Really?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Hey,